Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning and good afternoon, good evening to all of our listeners, wherever you are. My name is Dennis Neufeld, and this is indeed The Bible on Trial, brought to you by Spirit of Truth Ministry. I am sitting here with Larry and Rick, with Dr. Don on the phone. And we will do our greeting in just a moment. But before we do that, I want to remind you of our websites. The primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find our copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, published by Tate Publishing in 2007. And that's quite a story. And if you want to hear that story, if you want to read that story, you can go to our secondary website, our original website at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. And there you can go to our new book page. And as a sidebar, there is our story about how the book got published and the roadblocks that had been put in our way in getting this book actually out into the public realm. This included a rather severe bout of malignant melanoma on my part, but we went through it anyway and we got it done, and it's there, and you can read that story and you can read the book. Let's have prayer and we'll do greetings and we will get started. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, we are here, called each by name, through the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit, to learn the truth, not to learn a fact-checked version of the truth, but the real, honest-to-God words of truth that Jesus brought from heaven, from the Father. Father, thank you for doing this for us. Jesus, thank you for acting as a conduit for that, those words and your own and the Holy Spirit teaching us what those words mean. Thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
And good morning, Dr. Don. Let's see here. There we go. There you go. You're on.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you down in the canyon?
Well, it's hot.
Boy, I betcha.
You know, this is August. You know, we're told that it's going to be hot in various ways. And this morning I'm experiencing one of them, the temperature. So I'm looking forward to the study.
We miss you being here, but we know this situation, and we are glad that you're on the phone. And good morning, Rick.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you, Dennis. I hope that you are finding our studies thought-provoking.
By the way, today is August 6, 2021, and I want to remind our listeners that you should go to our Facebook page, the Spirit of Truth Ministry group, because for the last few days, Rick has been posting a little op-ed length piece every day, and this is kind of a synopsis of what it is that we've been doing the last few months. Over a year, actually. We encourage you to join our group. You will be, if you request membership, you will be granted. And there you can stay up to date on all of the things that are involving Spirit of Truth Ministry.
The advantage to that is it's in printed form, it's in writing.
It's writing, right.
Thank you for that, Dennis.
Oh, I'm sorry. And if you hear my moving around in the background, I am taking biscuits out of the oven.
He's multitasking.
Here. Yes, I'm multitasking.
We are at war. It's interesting that I was reading some articles, not mainstream media, because mainstream media is actually a participant in the war that we are in, and they are on the side of the enemy. So when you read or listen to mainstream media, you are going to hear the enemy's warfare, because this war is one that has pitted the lies, the narratives, the wokeness against the truth. And we see all around us an attempt by the enemy to destroy historical evidence.
Dennis, I think you have Don on and I'm hearing you.
Oh, he's still on. Oh, whoops. Sorry. Don, if you need to say something, just go ahead and hit number one and we'll put you up.
In fact, that is called destroying evidence is making it possible to find the truth, because the truth is verified by historical evidence. What is happening is it is a war for mind control. Now, each one of us is in control of our own mind, and that's the way God designed us. But the evil one is working diligently to take control, and he is gifted. If you think, well, the devil will never control my mind, that is the first thought on the road to perdition. Because if you don't take measures to ensure that the devil will not control your mind, the same thing will happen to you that happened to the man and the woman in the garden. I'm sure they never even thought that they could be convinced to do something they knew they were never to do. But the way the devil created his narrative, it made it seem, maybe it wasn't all what God said. Maybe this God is trying to help broaden my mind and in the process change me into a higher being.
A fifth dimensional being.
You might think, Paul says that the woman was weak-minded. In fact, all women are good for is to produce babies. Otherwise, we wouldn't even have women here on Earth. Now, that is in a letter that is purported to have been written by Paul, and everybody believes it was written by Paul. I've heard argument to the contrary that it's not written in the same kind of Greek as Paul did and so on, but somebody wrote it down, and the group that was compiling the Bible included it in the Bible as if it were from Paul. But he uses the woman in the garden to prove that women are weak. Yeah.
Weak vessels.
My wife would take exception to that. But anyway, that's what is presented. What I am here to say is that if you are not honest with yourself, you are weak. You go, well, I'm honest with myself. How could I not be honest with myself? I wouldn't deceive myself. Well, did the man in the garden, Adam, did he deceive himself? What does it mean to be honest with yourself? What it means is you not allow any information to stay in your intellect that you have not fully vetted and confirmed that it is the truth. You cannot allow your paradigms, your preconceived notions, your previous teaching from your upbringing to influence what you hear. You hear, you vet it against the standard of truth, and if it holds together in that standard, then it is truth. And you say, well, what is the standard of truth? Quite simply, in the spiritual realm where truth exists, it is the law, the prophets, and the testimony of the Son of God. And it is the testimony of the Son of God that is the invitation to the marriage feast. And you have to follow the instructions on that invitation in order to enter the marriage feast. The marriage feast is not a come as you are gathering. You can talk to the man who showed up without the required garment on, and what happens to those who are not properly attired, who come as they are? Dennis, you look like you're ready to...
Well, while you're putting a little bit of that nice honey on your biscuits, I was listening to you earlier, and something hit me about the difference between awake and woke. The culture today is a woke culture. And what this means is everyone who is woke has accepted the paradigm that everyone else except them is a bad person. And when we are awake to the truth, we learn that we have been fooled. If you're woke, you don't believe that. Okay? If you're woke, you don't believe that whoever is this source of evil in the world, and by the way, the woke people certainly don't believe that it is Satan himself who's doing that. A person who is woke does not believe that there is anything wrong with them. that it is everyone else who has something wrong with them. And so here we are, Spirit of Truth Ministry. We are not woke. We have the reason why we're here today is that we recognize that we had been fooled. We came to the conclusion that the person who's writing all of Christianity based upon is actually a functional operative of Satan himself. And all of us believed it. In fact, I remember Rich Humpel saying that the reason why he came back into the church was because of Paul. He had left. He'd gone away. And I can say the same thing, because when we, my wife and I, were attending a major, big, huge church of our religion, through upbringing, we heard something that was outstandingly evil. And so we went looking for another church, and we found literally a small Pentecostal church, and we were welcomed in with open arms, and Becky and I sang for them for a while and all that stuff, literally 2 to 3 years. And finally, we figured out what was wrong. I'm telling you, if you believe that you are woke, that you cannot be fooled, because if you could be fooled, you would have been fooled. You cannot be awake. Dr. Don, you have something to say.
Okay, I probably missed it, but could Rick give us the body of writing from Paul where he talks negatively about the women? Could you give us that reference? That would be...
You know, Dr. Don, I can find that, but I'm not sure that that's...
I don't have it. It's like... Philippians or...
Yeah, it's one of those, and we can find that,
okay.
But it's...
Please do before the program's over, because that's a major thing for our people to have in their hand. That's a major thing to have. Thank you.
It has been used by Protestant churches, evangelical churches, to show that women should not be teaching in their Sunday schools. Because Paul says women need to be quiet in the synagogue, and only after they get home ask their husband any question they might have, and the husband will set her straight.
And they are required to believe what their husband says and do what he says. Well, Becky and I attended a marriage seminar, some guy in Arizona, and everything was based on the writings of Paul. And essentially, everything that goes right in a marriage is the husband's fault. And everything
is the husband's doing.
It's the husband's doing, and everything that goes wrong with the marriage is the wife's doing. And Becky and I, when we heard that, we just stood and left.
That is the epitome of hubris. Right, Dennis?
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
So here is the first thing that I want you to understand. And believe me, we do not say that about women. In fact, I value the intelligence, wisdom, and work ethic that women typically have. So what I'm saying is that this is what Paul supposedly has written about women and God. And he uses the weak woman in the garden who succumbed to the lie of the devil, but the man did too. So they were both culpable in that. And the evidence to that is that God placed a curse on both of them. He cursed the land that the man was going to have to work to grow his food, and he cursed the woman in childbirth that she would have pains. Interesting that both involved fruit of the ground and fruit of the womb. So here is why we are at war. I want you to turn to Revelation 12. And it's why we are at war, and it is a description of what the war is about. Revelation 12. And let's start with verse 7 because it's important. Verse 7 tells us that there was a war in the heavens. What is taking place on the earth is identical to the war that took place in the heavens. Some UFO, extraterrestrial, cosmic alien buffs believe that there was a war in the heavens. I don't know that they go along with this. Some of them know about it, but they say that there was one group of extraterrestrials that was at war with another group of extraterrestrials who were firing laser weapons and all kinds of weapons that we don't even know about. But the war in the heavens that involved Michael and his angels and the dragon and his angels was one of narrative versus truth. The dragon had convinced his angels and had promised them a lot of power and a lot of the things that they wanted that as angels they were not allowed to have. And this war in the heavens was conducted as a court conducts the presentation of evidence and truth. And the great dragon was defeated and driven out of the heavens. That great dragon, the primeval serpent known as the devil or Satan, who had deceived all the world, was hurled down to the earth, and his angels were hurled down with him. Now you might ask, why was he hurled down to the earth? I mean, did God just decide, well, I don't want him up here, so I'm going to put him somewhere else, and woe be to the earth? That's what it kind of sounds like. I'm not saying that that is why, and I will tell you why, but I'll read on. Then I heard a voice shout from heaven. This is verse 10. Victory and power and empire forever have been won by our God, and all authority for his anointed. now that the persecutor who accused our brothers day and night before our God has been brought down. They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb. So when did this war take place? Well, it must have been after the sacrifice of the Lamb, because we see that part of this war was won by the blood of the Lamb. What did the blood of the Lamb do? That's an important thing to know. We'll talk about that. So,
by the way, Rick, what the information that Don asked for is found in 1 Colossians 7.
1 Colossians chapter.
There's only one Colossians, isn't there?
No, Corinthians, excuse me.
First Corinthians chapter 7. They, and who's they? They have triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the witness of their martyrdom, it says, or their sacrifice. Because even in the face of death, they would not cling to life. The blood of the Lamb and the witness of the faithful, even unto death.
Oh, and one other, sorry. 1 Colossians 14 as well.
I knew it was in one of those little...
First Corinthians 14. I keep doing the Colossians bit.
So the heavens are rejoicing. The devil can no longer take up time in the court persecuting the humans. What gives him the right? Well, you know, we read in Job, it kind of sounds like there's this back and forth where Satan, when asked why is he there in the court of heaven, and the court is not necessarily where trials are taking place, but he's there and he says that